Do you think it's easy putting together a radio show with different music each week, along with a totally unique guest co-host you've never worked with before? Meet Bill McNeil, a true radio head. At the drop of a hat, McNeil has an interesting anecdote to share about how, as general manager of the coast at 89.7 Glace Bay, Nova Scotia, he helped to found and start up this badly needed, now beloved community radio station serving eastern Cape Breton. I'm Paul Kellogg, proud to share the mic with Bill McNeil here on the next Blue Nose Opera House radio show. This is the Blue Nose Opera House. See, Bill, we don't have any scripts. We just wing it. Rather fall on my face and make a mistake and have it real than have it slick. Bill McNeil with us for this upcoming hour. And Bill is the station manager and the man about everything in the hallways and studios of the Coast Radio 89.7. It's good to have you back with us.
Thank you. Nice to be here. Having fun.
As we said in our opening, you're the station manager of the Glace Bay Community Radio Station 89.7, The Coast. And we're going to get into community radio and broadcasting and some of your experiences in just a couple of minutes. But we have a song that was made famous by maybe a one-hit wonder by, if I recall correctly, Barbara George. But this version is from my private collection. Doesn't that sound hoity-toity?
Oh, it does.
My private collection. Step right over here. Cass Elliott and Baby, I'm Yours.
Baby, I'm Yours.
That's Cass Elliott, and just a fine version of Baby, I'm Yours. Not that this is a moldy oldie show. You have eclectic tastes, Bill McNeil.
I do.
From Nana Mouskouri to Jimmy Buffett.
Yeah, it runs the gamut, doesn't it?
Did you know
it?
That Jimmy Buffett lived on a boat for a while?
I did. Did you know that Jimmy Buffett has Glace Bay connections?
No, I didn't. But the boat that he lived on was a Choiley 38 or 48, can't remember, schooner. So there. Glace Bay connections.
And South Shore connections.
He was here, it was just in the paper, he was here to go surfing with Walter Flower, the guy who runs the Lunenburg Whale Watching, and he likes to surf.
And he his grandfather or great-grandfather actually left Glace Bay and came to the South Shore and became a fishing captain, from what I understand. And then, of course, Jimmy was born and raised in Alabama, but... actually, there's I can't remember the name of the album, mm-hmm. but there's a picture of Jimmy and his dad. Before his dad passed away, he was, I think he was battling Alzheimer's at the time. And there's a picture of them in the window of a clapboard house in Glace Bay.
Oh, wow.
On the album cover.
Did you take that picture?
I did not take that picture. I have not met Jimmy Buffett, but I sure would like to. I have seen him in concert, however.
And he's recorded Canadian music, specifically Lenny Gallant.
That's right.
Mademoiselle. Your eclectic tastes go, as you mentioned, Nana Mouskouri. Do people tease you about that?
All the time.
Do they?
All the time.
Family members?
Not so much family members, because we grew up in a family that just appreciated all types of music. But I've had, especially through high school, friends would say, what?
You mentioned the music business and also being in Nashville. So you spent 10 years, was it away from radio or at the same time?
Yeah, I left radio in 1993 and I came back to radio in 2003, so 10 years.
And you owned your own company.
Had my own music company, management, booking, yeah.
Radio tracking, I think I know what that is, yeah. But describe it to our listeners.
Okay, it's basically you represent an artist and a song, and you call radio stations and basically you lobby on behalf of the artist to get airplay.
Jump on them if they work in the media or can get play, and you tie them down and you say, this is the latest, you've got to give it some air.
That's right.
Was that difficult?
Very difficult. As a matter of fact, it was probably why we started our radio station eventually. Because we couldn't get local artists played on the, at this point, non-local radio stations. They weren't locally owned anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, their programming philosophy was coming out of maybe Halifax or Moncton. And they would, the local artists didn't have a chance to play, get airplay.
I don't know if I should mention a town, but there's one in eastern mainland Nova Scotia. And they have a new format, and they've changed before. We only play the hits. Now, why do they want to sound like the slick city stations? I mean, how do artists get started? How do they get going? How do they get airplay?
Exactly. And it's a shame because not only do the broadcasters miss out on great music, but the audience misses out on it, which is even more important because it reflects and has an effect on the music culture and the music industry as well, because if artists don't get airplay and they don't get recognized, it's very hard to start to sell concert tickets.
It's a total lack of curiosity and it's a total ignorance of Atlantic Canadian and Canadian talent and culture, because I think it gets to be more Americanized.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You had an influence on a fellow who was starting out named Bruce Guthrow, whose career has just taken off. I don't mean now, but after that. How did you find Bruce?
Well, I was actually working for the Country FM station in Sydney, and we put together a thing called the Country Challenge. And the whole idea, talking about getting local artists, we were very proud to play local artists at that station. And that was part of our mandate, was to try to discover the next Cape Breton act. And so we had tremendous, tremendous talent. And it was kind of long before the days of American Idol, I guess you would say. But the catch was you had to write your own songs. You couldn't come in and sing cover songs.
Yeah.
You had to come in and perform original material.
Which he can do.
And which he could do. And it was at that point that I remember sitting down, and I think Jim Bradley from Sony Music Canada was sitting next to me, and we were talking. And I said, before we hear anybody else, I'm going to tell you right now, I think this guy has got it. He's got it hands down. Listen to the songwriting. And the song that grabbed my attention, and maybe it was because my grandfather was a coal miner, maybe it was because I grew up in a coal mining community, whatever, was a song he wrote called Men of the Deep. And, of course, everybody knows, or we hope everybody knows, about the Men of the Deeps. And the great coal mining chorus and wonderful guys that continue that tradition. But Bruce was able to take this song and write it from a coal miner's perspective and what it was like to get up on a cold winter morning with the coal stove and the tea brewing and the whole bit. And when he won that contest, and I had a chance to say, I'd like to pursue my dream of producing music in a studio. And so I called my friend Gilles Godard in Nashville, and he flew up, and we actually cut two singles for Bruce at the time, which were released through an MCA deal we had put together. And then we went down to Nashville and co-produced his first album, which was a country album, which I think at one point Bruce has said he buried several copies in the backyard. I'm not sure. Something to that effect. But I still get requests for the songs from the album. And I still think, he's one of the best country songwriters that you would ever find. Certainly one of the best songwriters you'll find anywhere as well. But this particular track just really tugs at the heartstrings of a Cape Bretoner.
It's 6:15 in the morning. It seems like I just closed my eyes. Morning comes quick on these weary old bones. I see the sun starting to rise. Fire must have went out, house is so cold. North wall is calling, so I have to go down and haul in the timbers and set up the jacks and make one more to rip down those coal-covered tracks. Like all those before me, their souls rest in peace. I pray they watch o'er me, the man. Off the cold from my bones, thinking about things I'd rather be doing than working hey past too long. Working in darkness, 1,000 feet under, where the big mine cuts, the coal falls like thunder, where I haul in the timbers and set up the jacks. Down those coal-covered tracks, like all those before me, their souls rest in peace. Pray they watch o'er me, the man of the deep. While I haul in the timbers and set up the jacks, make one more to rip down those coal-covered tracks. Watch o'er me, this man of the deep.
You just knocked my socks off. That is wonderful. Bruce Guthrie and Men of the Deep. Oh, what a pure great,
song,
clean
isn't
sound.
It? Yeah. Great story song, too. Glace Bay, Cape Breton, is home to the Miners Museum, the Marconi Historic Site, and, of course, the beloved theater, the Savoy Theater. It's also the hometown base of community radio at its best, the Coast 89.7, part of the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, Bill McNeil from the Coast Radio 89.7. Bill, before we move on, still thinking about that great song by Bruce Guthrie, did he have it, whatever that is, except, of course, we know great talent in his pinky. Did he have it when you first saw him, or was it something that developed over time?
No, he had it. He had it from the moment I heard him perform his first song. I knew in my heart that this guy had it. It was just something special, and I know people have watched shows and, you know, things like we talk about the Idol series and things like that, and you'll hear a judge say, well, I knew they had it, or you have that something special, you have that X factor or whatever you want to call it. He had it. He was very shy and had to work a little bit on working with the audience and playing in front of the audience.
Francie was David Francie, same way.
Same way. And again, another exceptional. And, you know, they're all – and. Well, you just mentioned it. There's three of the greatest writers you'll find anywhere, you know, and so unique in each of their own right as well. And but Bruce, yeah, he definitely had it from day one. And probably, I have to say, one of the best singers you would find to ever record in the studio. One, two takes tops. That's it.
Are you guys still friends?
Yes. Yeah. We don't get to see each other very often. Yeah. But every now and then we'll cross paths at ECMA or something like that.
We, and you probably know this, but we try to not have this South Shore-centric. Cape Breton doesn't get enough good news. I don't think they get enough support. in a lot of areas, politically, economically, although it's so beautiful and the spirit there is unmatched. But we like to feature, and I try to beat the bushes for writers and musicians and people like you who come from Cape Breton and represent it so well. This guy is the real deal. He hasn't been around as long as Bruce Guthrie, but he is not only a songwriter and singer, but he's a lobsterman. Jason McDonald.
We marked our course, we'll deviate from it. The cup of sweet somehow conveniently forget. Let the tides and winds take us on our way. Navigating coastlines of new waters every day. Spent the day sailing on the ocean. We spent the night gazing at the skies. Taking turns pointing out the constellations. Till we see the sun rising in our eyes. Across our share of danger, there'll be storms to weather along the way. We'll grow stronger with each new adventure. Exhilaration reminds us we're alive. We spent the day sailing on the ocean. We spent the night gazing at the skies. Taking turns pointing out the constellations. Until we see the sun rising in our eyes.
I love the way that's put together. Must have been geniuses working behind him, too. It's called Constellations.
Freddie song, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You had a hand in that.
A little bit. Yeah.
What was it?
Had a chance to do a little co-production on that with Jason, some pre-production and co-production over at Lakewind Sound Studios in Point Oconee. Mm-hmm. Fred Lavery.
Yes.
Gordy Sampson's house, so to speak.
Yeah. Love to get those two guys in here, too. But Jason and Sandy are salt of the earth folks.
They sure are. Jason's dad, Sandy, is very much involved with our radio station. He's actually, this year, he's been elected president of the board of directors.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I have to tell you a story if I can. You may not know this about me, but I'm a small town boy. And I never left that, never forgot that. And no matter where I worked, size of the market, to me, people made what was important, the difference. And some of my colleagues would raise their eyebrows when I would not only have a certain name on a program or a talk music interview show, but I would go out and check out around the corner at the local to see who's playing. What talent is coming up? And we all listen to the radio blind.
Right.
And so I would describe the atmosphere, whether the lights were dimming or what the person was wearing, when the music started, whether it was Lightfoot walking out on stage at Massey Hall or this person playing guitar at the local in, you know, a 10-seat venue. It didn't matter to me. Took my little boy at the time down to Harbor Front after his children's program. On a Saturday morning with some art lessons, I said, we'll go get a bite to eat. And there was a cafeteria where you have your tray and you select what you want. Then you take your tray and you walk into the other room. Other room was really crowded. So we got a little table at the back. We started eating and this band came out on stage, woman dressed with a vest and a skirt and fringe on the skirt, fringe on the vest. She started singing and I turned to my little guy and said, this woman is going to explode, that she is so tight. Maybe I was the first person in major media to talk about her as if it was down at the local. And I said, keep your mind open and your ears open to this woman, her band, Katie Lang and the Reclines. She's going to take off. 3 months later, I saw her on The Tonight Show. So that's how it happens.
Great story.
But that's really what it's about.
Oh, yeah. And again, these guys just have ways of putting words to music that tells so much. In 2.5 minutes, David Francie can tell you a story, a life story. Amazing.
Garrison Brothers. Tell us about them and Song for the Myra, of course, which is just a classic.
Yeah, it is a classic. It's not the official anthem of Cape Breton. That was the island declared by then Premier John Buchanan. But it's a darn close second.
Across Canada.
Oh, amazing!
I've heard this
around
everywhere.
Around the world. Mm-hmm. It is just amazing how the song has impacted, and it's hard to believe that, you know, Alistair McGilvery, who hails from the Myra, wrote that song for then a girl guide. I don't want to say convention, but it was a gathering of international girl guides, and they wanted a campfire song. And he basically came up with that song. And it's just a tremendous piece of music. It's been recorded from everybody from John Allen Cameron to, Daniel O'Donnell and Celtic Thunder, and every one of those groups do it justice for sure. But this song in particular, this version of it, comes from the Garrison Brothers, who were a band at the time. Stephen Wainwright from Maine, I think he was from Maine. And Kevin Evans, originally from Ireland, and a couple of members from New Brunswick as well in the band at that time. And they recorded it, and there's just something special about their version of the song that gets me. Now, I live on the Myra. My home is on the Myra. And the words could not be truer. You know, I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Merion Bridge. There's not a day goes by that I don't drive over Merion Bridge itself, and thank the Lord that's where I'm at. So it's a beautiful testament to the people there, to the place, and certainly to the writing of Alistair McGilvery, who, again, is one of those tremendous storytellers.
Out on the Myra, on warm afternoons, old men go fishing with black line on spoon. And if they catch nothing, they never complain. And I wish I was with them again. The boys in their boats call to girls on the shore, teasing the ones that they dearly adore. And into the evening, the
courting begins, and I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine the peace of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'd trade you 10 of your cities for marrying a bridge and the pleasure it brings. Out on the Myra, on soft summer nights, bonfires blaze to the children's delight. They dance round the flames, singing songs with their friends, and I wish I was with them again. And over the ashes, the stories are told of witches and werewolves and Oak Island the gold. The stars on the river, they sparkle and spin, and I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine the peace of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'd trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure. Out on the Myra, the people are kind. They'll treat you to homebrew, they'll help you unwind. And if you come broken, they'll see that you mend. And I wish I was with them again. And now I'll conclude with this, wish you go well, sweet be your dreams, may your happiness swell. I leave you now, my journey begins, and I'm going to be with them, going to be with them, I'm going to be with them. And the kings, I'd trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings.
Couldn't extra that. I really couldn't, other than saying, wow, Garrison Brothers and Song for the Myra.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece of music, and they do such a great job on that as well. The Garrison Brothers featuring Kevin Evans, and a lot of folks would know him from Evans and Doherty fame now, of course. Unlike some of those other computerized stations, you're listening to real people, your neighbors, serving your community. Thanks to the Coast 89.7 Glace Bay, who bring you the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
Blue Nose Opera House, we're just sailing through this. Bill McNeil from the Coast. I can tell you're having a good time.
I'm having a great time. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, and no beer, just water.
Nope, just water.
I swear to that. You like country music, too.
I do.
I thought that so. So in my search, I found an artist named, I've heard of before, but Trisha Yearwood.
Oh, one of my favorites.
And this is a song maybe couples should say to each other. You say you will.
You make me promises that you don't keep. Tears are expensive, my words are cheap. You tell me one thing.
forgetting. I keep expecting you to change. You say. So I give you every little thing you choose. You give me back a stack of IOUs. There seems to be a pattern here. Yeah, I cannot tell if you're sincere. You say you win. You say you win. Every time. You say you win. But you never.
Trisha Yearwood, and boy, can she sing. And you said that she did a lot of demo work in Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. As I mentioned, my friend Gilles Godard earlier, who worked on the first Bruce Guthrie album with me, he used to call this girl up that was looking for a few dollars singing songs while she was trying to get a break. Her name was Trisha Yearwood. She sang his demos for a while.
Before I forget, there was just a call out for volunteers for the Mining Museum at Glace Bay.
Yeah.
Because the government grant is running out and they want to keep it going for ships that visit and mm-hmm. tours that come through. It must be an interesting job being a volunteer at the Mining Museum.
It's a very interesting job, and probably the most interesting job probably is for the retired miners who actually take the folks down underground and mm-hmm. do the tour. And they do a great job. They tell you the history of the mining community, and then they take you into the actual mine, which is really something.
And company store.
Company store and the restaurant's pretty good too, folks.
Is it? But you can see how the miners lived.
Yeah.
And that is, apparently a lot of visitors say that was also a highlight of the tour.
It's amazing. A lot of people don't realize the miners had such an impact on the community. They would actually do what was called checkoff mm-hmm. from their paychecks, and they were responsible for building things like hospitals in the community.
Wow. Yeah. I mentioned being a small town boy, and you are too.
Oh,
and
very much.
Yeah, that's never left us. So, you know, we like to do occasionally classified ads. First thing I do is I go to the local paper, and my favorite column, my favorite part is finding out what people have for sale, because they tell it like it is. It's local color, and it's not the kind of ad you're going to find in the Gropen Mail, where they've got $40,000 fur coats and $10,000 yeah. Rolex watches.
True.
And people looking for partners, such as maybe a woman looking for a man, he's got to be accomplished, which means successful. But instead of asking for a guy with most of his teeth and a hard worker, and who comes home at night. So this is from local paper, and I'll kick it off, and we'll do every other one. There'll be a blueberry social on Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 1 at the Riverport Community Center. They'll have sandwiches, sweets, blueberry desserts, bowls of fresh blueberries and cream. Sounds delicious, doesn't it?
It does.
Plus beverages and a baked table. Adults $9, sponsored by St. Matthew's Lutheran Church in Rose Bay.
And this will whet your appetite. A planked halibut supper will be held at the Conquerall Bank Fire Hall just off Route 331. That's Sunday from 4 till 6 p.m. There will be a seating area inside while you wait, and the hall is also wheelchair accessible. $15 for adults, children $6, and those under 5, free.
Are you a car nut, truck nut?
Somewhat.
Okay. A 1998 Nissan Frontier 4x4 truck in good working condition. Available for sale or will trade for, listen to this, a Model A Ford. Too many loose ones hanging around?
I don't think so. For sale, a 9x12-foot white solarium with aluminum framing, bronze tinted tempered glass. It's a Skytech model.
Be hard to disassemble that, or do you move it on a flatbed?
Yeah.
Lawn tractors and gas-powered push mowers, plus garden tillers, reasonably priced, are for sale in Back Center.
And commercial property for sale or rent at 15525 Highway 3, Hebbville. About 800 square feet, $500 per month. Call Eric or Liz.
A spacious two-bedroom apartment suitable for quiet tenants, immaculately kept for rent in the Chester Basin area. Includes fridge, stove, electric heat, washer, and dryer hookup. No smoking, no pets, security deposit, and references required. $570 per month plus utilities. I love those ads.
Can I tell you something about a classified ad? It's
sure.
a kind of a classified ad, I guess. We used to do a show.
Are you selling something?
No.
Okay.
We used to do a show when I first started at CKBW in Bridgewater. We did a show called Swap Shop, and people would call in with various things. And I, being from Cape Breton, was not quite accustomed to the South Shore accent yet. So one day a lady called and she said, "I have a brown car for sale." And I said, "Ma'am, we don't take automobiles except for parts." And she continued to be quite insistent that she had this. And she said, "It moves. It gives milk."
Live and learn.
Live and learn.
Skyler, Knobloch, and is it Bickhart? Is this a legal firm?
Doesn't it sound like it?
Yeah.
Three pretty good songwriters, actually.
It's not Fred Knobloch, is it?
Yeah, Fred Knobloch.
It is.
Yeah, and Tom Skyler, who went on to become a big... not head honcho, but close to it at RCA Nashville. And Craig Bickhart, great songwriter as well.
And it's not the Rosie Clooney song.
This song is, this is a really, you know, I said before, I'm a fan of lyrics. And this is one of those songs that every time I play this song, my wife listens to it, she cries. The song is from the perspective of a house, not the owners, not the occupants, but the house. And it's a very moving song. Did fairly well for them until the record label folded in Nashville, Tennessee, unfortunately. But again, just a very, very moving song. But again, remember, listen to it carefully. It's from the perspective of the house.
There are 50 liquor boxes in my hall, and 100 empty nails on my wall. There's a sign out in my yard that reads for sale. And if this old house could cry, tears would fall. There are bargain-hungry vultures everywhere, buying broken toys, old clothes, and Tupperware. Been taken out, they've stopped the mail. And if this old house could talk, I'd say a prayer. I've been strong and I've been sturdy, and I've weathered every storm. I've always kept your family safe and warm. Now you're packing up the laughter, and you're sweeping out the tears. If this old house were built on memories,
I would stand 1,000 years. This old house,
this old house,
this old house,
this old house
were built on memory.
I would stand 1,000 years.
Take another look before you lock the door. Where your shoes have worn the finish from my floor. Listen to my banging pipes and my creaking stairs. Let your boy slide down my banister once more. I remember where you hid the extra key, where the hammer and the band-aid used to be. And I would smell your morning coffee in the air, and I'll see you hanging tinsel on the tree.
I've been strong, I've been sturdy, and I've weathered every storm, and I have always kept your family safe and warm. Now you're packing up the laughter, and you're sweeping out the tears. If this old house were built on memory, I would stand 1,000 years. This old house,
this old house,
this old house,
this old house,
this old house was built on memory. I would stay 1,000 years.
What a chunk of music. It is real music, real instruments. Skylar, Knobloch, and Bickhart.
Yeah.
Woo. This old house.
Powerful song.
Mm-hmm.
It's
okay. Your turn.
Heading down Highway 28, 125, 4 or 255, you're headed to Glace Bay in the heart of great community radio, the Coast 89.7, where we bring you the Blue Nose Opera House Radio Network.
I may be the crusty regular host, but I feel humbled sitting next to Bill McNeil, because not only is he a friend of Jim Corbett's, the nominations, listen to this. This is like royalty. Media Outlet of the Year nomination. Radio Station of the Year. Radio Program of the Year. Media Professional of the Year. ECMA nominations, that's the East Coast Music Awards. And the ECMA Radio Station of the Year 2011. You really pulled it off, fella.
It's been a fun ride so far.
Jimmy Buffett. You talked about him before. And a favorite song of yours that he wrote is called Come Monday.
Yeah. Going back to 1974, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan. You can probably tell by the shirt I'm wearing. People can't see that through the radio, but...
Margaritaville.
Margaritaville. And this particular song, it's one of those songs, you know, we talked prior to going to air about, you know, ideas for songs and things like that. And this is my song, my chill-out song, maybe, I guess you could say, or the song that just keeps me... ground it whenever things get a little hectic. I put this song on, I'm okay. And I just, it's one of those songs I can tell you that I hope never anybody ever tries to re-record this song, because the guy who produced this song passed away at a young age. His name was Don Gant. Hmm. And what he did in this song production-wise, when you listen to the background vocals, listen to a steel guitar that sounds like I don't think any other steel guitar I've ever heard. He just did something magic with it. And it's one of Buffett's best. Come Monday.
Heading out to San Francisco for the Labor Day weekend show. I got my hush puppies on. I guess I never was meant for glitter rock and roll. And honey, I didn't know that I'd be missing you so. Come Monday, it'll be all rent-a-cars and westbound trains. And now you're off on vacation, something you try to explain. And darling, it's I love you so, that's the reason I just let you go. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I can't help it, honey, you're that much a part of me now. Remember that night in Montana when we said there'd be no room for doubt. I hope you're enjoying the scenery. I know that it's pretty up there. We can go hiking on Tuesday. With you I'd walk anywhere. California has worn me quite thin. I just can't wait to see you again. Come Monday, it'll be alright. Come Monday, I'll be holding you tight. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side. I spent four lonely days in a brown LA haze, and I just want you back by my side.
Jimmy Buffett. Sailor, he is. Did you bring in any cheeseburgers when you arrived at the studio?
Just the one on my back, on the back of this shirt. Cheeseburger in paradise.
Cheapskate. How'd you meet Jim Corbett?
Jim Corbett and I met at CKBW back in 1979. I was the new kid on the block. I was three. I was actually 19, believe it or not, and didn't know too much about Bridgewater, other than listening to the station at night. It was an AM station, so you know, I had this dream that if I couldn't work in my home market, I wanted to work for CKBW, and lo and behold, a job became available.
Wonderful. Radio, the coast, how was that conceived as a community station? Was it difficult getting it started?
It's difficult getting it started. It's difficult keeping it going all the time. Community radio is a real challenge.
How did you start it?
We started it, actually, there was a group of us sat around after the ECMAs in 2000 in Cape Breton, and we were talking about the fact that we really didn't have an outlet any longer for local artists or regional artists even to get airplay. And at that time, Max McDonald, Joala Foles, myself, Dave Reynolds, who worked in radio for many years, of course, sat around and we had this idea. But then it was an idea, and it was going to be the Radio Free Cape Breton Society, I think is what we called ourselves at that point. And it was a great idea, but then everybody was so busy doing everything else that it just kind of fell through. And then, you know, about 2003, I said, are we going to do this or are we not going to do this? And so I kind of took, I guess, the bull by the horns, talked to some local business people and whatnot, and said, you know, would you be willing to sit on our board of directors if we form this cooperative? And the cooperative seems to be the way to go. That seems to be the successful community stations seem to be cooperative. And so we put that together, and for the better part of 2 years, we broadcasted at 50 watts on a temporary tower. I would climb the roof of the Sydney Civic Center along with several good friends and erect the tower and put the antenna up there, and we'd run a small transmitter. And we had to do new licenses with Industry Canada every 28 days for a special event license. And we did that back and forth from Sydney to Glace Bay, back and forth, working all the time towards hopefully getting a full-time license. And I think what we did was we whet the appetite of the audience. They suddenly realized, hey, there's a station playing our music. There's a station promoting the local. There's a station talking about, you know, the community events. And so we formed the cooperative, and it grew from there, and went full-time December of 2007. And it's been one heck of a ride so far.
What are some of the trials you have today?
Certainly, you know, it's like anything else. We're in a market served by, we have five commercial radio stations competing for advertising in our market. So you know, it's very tough. They're big companies, and they have a lot more marketing power than a small community radio station does. And so it's a challenge. There's not a lot of government funding of any kind to really help community radio. I certainly hope that's something that will change over time. It certainly has helped in Australia and Europe and other community radio markets, but it's something that we're still kind of a little bit behind here in Canada on. And, you know, hopefully that will change. But it's the day-to-day operation and just trying to keep it on the air and keep it growing moving forward.
It's a wonderful station.
Thank you.
I have a story for you. Talk about artists. And I'm sure you young people ask you about interviewing and techniques. And I taught once and said, you know, the worst thing you can do is just ask a pat question, because politicians and entertainers have heard it before and they answer on automatic, like automatic pilot. Walked into a room, this dropping a name, but a woman sitting there, maybe I was the 12th of 12 people to talk to her, Dionne Warwick. When I sat down next to her, a woman was leaning over her from a larger station saying, "What was your greatest moment? When did you know you were making it?" And she was rolling her eyes, couldn't wait to get out of that room, turned to me with almost a hateful look in her eye saying, "I don't want to do this one more time." And I started pivoting. I used the term from basketball, changing from political to light. If you had the day off, what would you do? And sure enough, I asked her, if you weren't doing what you're doing now, would you go back to teaching? Because I knew she went to a teacher's college. She turned to me and told me this story. She'd take the train into New York and do demos for Bacharach and David, Burt Bacharach and Hal David, over and over through the years. And she would hear other people doing what they figured was a good demo and taking the music, and she would never get the attention, always be second rate. So one day, after doing some demos for them with her new music, she left, and as she left, she angrily said to them, "Don't make me over." Went back to school in Hartford, went back in, and they said, "Hey, by the way, that last term that you gave us, we wrote a song, do the demo on us," and she did. Forgot about it months later after cutting that, sitting in her dorm room in Hartford, University of Hartford. She had the radio on low, and all of a sudden she heard her voice sing,
"Don't make me over now that I do anything for you. Don't make me over.
And there she is, Don't Make Me Over, and they didn't. Dionne Warwick. Bill McNeil, thank you so much again.
Thank you, Paul.
89.7. It's been a blast.
It sure has been. Yeah. A lot of fun.
You're going to come back, right?
I hope so.
How long does it take for you to get down the highway this way?
Oh, about 6 hours.
No. I mean next. You know,
whenever
it
happens.
We're going to have to twist your arm.
Yeah, I like coming back.
I'd like to have you back. Yeah. And if I lived in your area, I'd be twisting your arm to allow me to work as a staff person, including sweeping floors.
Hey, come on in.
Okay.
Anytime.
And audience, thank you for dropping by. We'll be looking for you in 6 days, 22 hours, and 5 minutes. Greetings to all our new listeners in Atlanta, Canada, Ontario, and around the world via internet radio and the East Coast Kitchen Party, plus our friends running NPR and American Public Media in South Florida. I'm Paul Kellogg, along with Bill McNeil, my buddy, saying a special hello to all our ships at sea and Cape Islanders inshore. Be home soon. Good night. And good day.